Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Because there are no good cops, because they, of course, get fired if they are, then this officer, there was a suicidal man who was with his girlfriend at home. His girlfriend decided to, and to be fair to her, I don't know that she knew she was calling the cops on him. She knew that she was dialing 911, which is... calling the state on your suicidal boyfriend, probably not really the thing to do, but I don't really know what the thing to do is, so there's that, I guess. So the cops came, and she told them that he had an unloaded gun, which is not really a, to be fair to everybody in the story, is not really a valid adjective to put in front of a gun. So, I mean,
because you don't know.
Right. You don't know. I mean, even the clip could be out. There still could be one in the chamber. You
sure.
don't know.
Knives kill more people than assault weapons do every
Sure, but they don't jump
America.
Off a desk and stab someone.
Right. So the point is there are knives in drawers in every home in America, yeah. and we don't shoot people over them.
Okay.
Right. So then another officer showed up because apparently they, you know, just have to get bored and send all the officers at the... in the county. So the other officer showed up, then the guy, at which point the guy pointed the gun at the second officer, and so then the second officer shot and killed him.
All right, which is what you would expect to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But if the guy's talking to, and he did, when the cop showed up first, he told them to shoot him. It seems like this was maybe his method of committing suicide, which...
That's pretty common. Suicide by cop.
So... But he's not having a problem with the first cop, is the thing. Then the second cop shows up. It doesn't say this and I wasn't there. I'm imagining that the second cop was a little bit more aggressive than the Afghanistan vet who is telling us about how he doesn't think this guy is a threat.
Okay.
So then he got fired for not shooting him.
Even though he himself was not feeling threatened.
Right.
Even though there would be no real justification for it. Like, the second cop was justified. I mean, all of us would have been justified in shooting that man in that circumstance. If somebody pulls a gun at, on you, you believe rightfully that your life is being threatened at that point.
I wouldn't say that that is justified, although I would say that it is reasonable, which are two different things.
What's the difference?
So it's reasonable if you're committing an armed robbery and someone tries to shoot you that you shoot back at them. It's not justified.
I get where you're coming from with the police, but in this case, could you really say they're aggressing if the person wanted their services?
They're not aggressive. Well, see, but that's the thing.
They're funded through aggression.
They're doing two things at the same time. I honestly don't care how they're funded.
Okay. Then what? Okay. So if you can ignore the fact that they're funded through aggression, which is how they're, you know, they get their paychecks.
Right. But I don't walk around making arguments as to why it's okay to kill on site librarians or road workers or, you know, anything else like that because I don't have an argument for that and I don't want one. So
there's no argument to justify what that cop there's no argument to justify what they're saying the first cop should have done. They're saying he should have shot an unarmed man.
Yes, I think that states should have the right to secede. If you ask me that poll question, I'm there. Now, do I think it would be a good idea if New Hampshire seceded tomorrow? Well, I think it would be interesting. But it probably wouldn't be great for the businesses along the border. You know, many people who are in New Hampshire rely on doing business outside of New Hampshire. Suddenly turning New Hampshire from a state into a foreign country is going to make things very complicated. And I'm not sure that that's a real great idea for everybody.
What federal laws would you like to see nullified, if that's your idea?
I say we start nullifying them all and begin over. Like all of them. Is where I would start, and then you begin, you know, starting over. All I think the federal government should do, from a sort of practical standpoint, I'm for this organization going away. Frankly, I don't think it's that valuable. It should be replaced with a contract, and that contract says we, the states, will honor the contracts from each state. We will, you know, honor the licensure of each state, and people can move freely between and settle freely within their lands. I think that would be a far better thing than what we currently have, you know, going.
That's not that much less than what the Constitution actually
is sort of supposed to be, right?
Right.
That, yes. But they, you know, they needed to build this giant apparatus, you know, the EPA, the IRS, and all these other things that go into it. I also think that the federal government, if it focused on providing simply military protection for a given landmass, would likely attract other provinces from places like Canada and Mexico and maybe even around the world, where basically their services as a protection agency would be appreciated.
By the Constitution is the standing armies are only up for wars and are disbanded during times of peace.
It doesn't say that.
That was a suggestion, but the people who wrote it, they wanted an army. They wanted a professional army. Alexander Hamilton the Federalist Papers was 100% clear. He wanted a small standing army.
A jerk.
He's a jerk.
Well, you kind of have to be to start a government.
The federal government was allowed to have a navy and I'm all for that. I would rather it be funded voluntarily, but the deal is that the standing armies are exactly what we will produce, in having a continuous war. If you have standing armies, you will have continuous war.
You can't force people to not fund a centralized force. So, while I may agree with you that decentralization is the preferential way to organize things, there may be people, let's say the militaristic supporters out there, who want to see a big military, and if they pony up enough money, that's exactly what they can have. I mean, you and I shouldn't be able to say that they can't.
Well, no, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm saying that our efforts voluntarily we ought to say, hey, listen, wouldn't it be better if a bunch of guys in the neighborhood, we trained, we had
fun. Sure, you're saying persuade those people. Sure, by all means, try to persuade them out of having a big centralized military. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. One of the other suggestions, well, I guess it wasn't really a suggestion. There was one of the former AMPers who signed back up because of the email, so thank you for doing that. He had said that he liked the Weekly Digest. You remember Ben Bartholomew, one of our listeners, was putting together a Weekly Digest in the past, which he did for about a year. And, it was a lot of work to boil down a week's worth of Free Talk Live into an hour long or however long it was digest.
Now Riley Blake's doing it.
Format. Well, Riley's doing a daily digest. And so what I said to him back was, well, we did have that Weekly Digest and I'm glad you liked it. But unfortunately, not enough people stepped up to, donate to Ben. Because he put his donation links in the descriptions of those digests, and it just wasn't enough, right? There's people's time is worth something, and he was basically doing that just kind of because he loved Free Talk Live and wanted to provide that service. But if you want someone who's a volunteer to continue volunteering for a long period of time, it's nice for the volunteer to get something out of it.
So when you don't have a police badge and you shoot someone who's not threatening you, or in some states when you shoot someone who is threatening you, that's called homicide. But apparently, if you're a police officer, it's a terminable offense.
It's a job requirement, apparently.
Yes.
If you don't shoot the suicidal man who has a gun somewhere, you'll get fired.
Well, in this case, the suicidal man leveled the gun at the second cop. That's why he got
shot. But they're saying the first cop should have shot him before any of that happened.
It doesn't sound like the first cop should have been fired.
So you were talking about how you've been losing AMPers, but also I think also the talk radio industry is also losing listeners, so that could play a factor.
No, they say that the Trump bump has continued. So talk radio had a bump in listenership, as it always does during the election season. Generally, talk radio stations will have their ratings go up during that time frame, and then they'll kind of peter back off after the election happens. What they've been saying in the industry, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Mark, is they've been saying that the bump has continued, that the listenership is still up even after the election.
The one thing
have
I haven't
seen that?
That is correct. The one thing I haven't been able to do is do a sort of a 10-year or 20-year comparison in time spent listening, or what they call TSLs in the industry. We on Free Talk Live don't have the $30,000, have never had the $30,000 a year to drop on numbers. So I can't.
On hiring Nielsen ratings to give you the.
So I can't pore over these numbers as I was trained to do, when I worked for iHeart or Clear Channel, what is now iHeart Media. But I can tell you that the numbers that come out within the industry, the sort of articles about the numbers that they've seen, it's not really numbers, indicates that talk radio is as pervasive and listened to as it has been for some time. But I don't know if that's based on cumulative listeners, which just means the amount of people who listen in a given week, or time spent listening. To me, it would be disingenuous to just give cumulative listener numbers and say, hey, look, we got more listeners than ever, if the time spent listening was down. So the caller could be right, but I don't have any information one way or another to sort of prove you right or wrong. One of the problems with interviews is it's not that I'm against interviews.
Interviews are a great way to sort of cross-promote. That's one of the benefits of them, is that so-and-so interviewee will...
Right. You bring on Tom Woods. Tom Woods mentions he's on Free Talk Live.
Right.
And then some of his listeners come over to listen.
I mean, the reason why Callan Diggs is here in our studio is because he heard us on Alex Jones years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something to that.
So, interviews, I'm for. It's just that there's some difficulty. So, with Free Talk Live, all of us look at the news day in and day out, and we find the stories that we want to talk about. We bring them in. Ian decides which ones are going to go at what time and whatever. And that's the show. Like, it's easy to do because we're all here in the same room. One thing that's difficult is when you bring on an interview, is you never know whether they're actually going to show up, right? So you bring on whoever this person is, and life happens for that person as it happens, and then, you know, you promote it. Tom Woods will be on Free Talk Live tomorrow night. Call in and listen, right? And then, you know, Tom Woods he gets caught in traffic, or there's some kind of family illness, or he just forgets. And I don't know why I'm picking on Tom here. And this is one of the difficulties, is you don't know what you're going to get when it comes to interviews. I get that Free Talk Live is hard to listen to in the sense that there's 21 hours a week to listen to live and 14 hours a week to listen to recorded. But I guess the shtick that we bring is that anybody can call in and talk about anything they want, and there's no other libertarian program, radio, podcast, or otherwise, where that sort of happens on a broad basis.
I'm so excited that can you believe that they're going to throw out the smokers from the Santa Fe Plaza?
What is that? Is that like an open air kind of public shopping place? What is the Santa Fe Plaza?
It's like a city plaza where there's a grassy area in the middle, and there's restaurants and shops around. And so they could only smoke in the sidewalk, but they're going to throw them out in the grassy center area.
So
it's about maybe.
So hold on, just to clarify, they will not be allowed to smoke in the grassy center, but if they're on the sidewalks, they'll still be allowed to smoke in the Santa Fe Plaza?
Yeah, it's kind of like. Maybe they'll get to that next year. It's one step at a time.
There you go. One step towards tyranny at a time. Now, is this a government-run plaza, or is it a privately-owned plaza?
No, it's city property. The whole park is city property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. So basically, even though the smokers are forced to pay for the park, you don't want them to be allowed in the park.
Well, it's a community place, you know.
Except for the smokers. They're not welcome. So the story from freebeacon.com, where members of the alt-left with a history of participating in violent protests are now targeting the neighborhood of the Federal Communications Commission chairman Ajit Pai. The organizers connected to Disrupt J20 and Code Pink said they are, quote, taking the fight to Pai's door and leaving leaflets on doors in Pai's neighborhood last weekend to protest changes to the Obama administration's net neutrality policy. Did you guess it was going to be net neutrality?
Oh, I knew it was.
You knew. All right. So on Sunday, activists will target...
I got to say, net neutrality is one of those topics that I do not entirely... you know, for me, the libertarian answer isn't the greatest because we don't exist in a libertarian world. And the internet wasn't a libertarian created communication device. It was a government created communication device. Mm-hmm. And so just pulling the restrictions off of ISPs, internet service providers, and saying, you know, do whatever you want, it's the free market, to me just doesn't seem like the greatest answer in the world. The freedom, the Electronic Frontier Foundation agrees with me on this one, but I just don't have the greatest.
So you're saying EFF supports net neutrality?
Yes.
Okay.
We've had them on the air saying so.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
The idea was that was behind the scenes at an internet service provider that, let's say, Netflix, which is an incredibly popular company, which uses a good chunk of the internet, basically, like as far as the bandwidth that's out there, Netflix is a pretty big chunk of it, as I understand it. That Netflix is maybe willing to pay, say, Comcast or Spectrum, one of these internet service providers, to guarantee good service for their content. And the idea would
that's
be that...
something I would definitely pay Comcast for if I was going to pay Comcast at all.
Yeah, the idea, though, would be that, let's say there's a competitor to Netflix, LiveLeak. And LiveLeak is like, yeah, we don't have a bunch of money, we're not going to pay for this. Well, then Comcast might throttle them, was the idea. And again, I'm just using Comcast as a name. I don't know if they were threatening to do this or not. They probably were. But, you know, then Comcast could basically say, oh, well, you're not going to pay, are you? Well, we're just going to go ahead and shove you down to the bottom tier of information. Because if the information that is being transferred, some of it is given a priority over the rest of it, then that's good for the one being given the priority. If the other information below that is not, you know, there's a bunch of data that's trying to push through a pipe that has been purposefully made smaller to essentially restrict their data delivery to everybody else or to their customers or to the people who are asking for that information. That's the idea that net neutrality was supposed to fix, was that the net neutrality was the government coming down with a hammer saying, all right, Comcast, whack. Now you have to just let everybody use your bandwidth to whatever extent that they want to use it, and you can't charge them differently for it. Quote, join us this Sunday for a hashtag save the internet, hashtag net neutrality vigil outside of FCC Chairman Ajit Pai's house, says the Facebook event organized by Protect Our Internet. The invitation notes that, quote, in all caps, this is a completely legal action protected by the First Amendment. And I do agree with them that it is. I've gone to people's neighborhoods and protested before. I've been outside of Judge Burke's house here in Keene. I've been outside of Fenton Moore's house, who was one of the police officers that you see in Derek J's victimless crime spree. That was the officer that knocked Derek off of his bicycle.
If you haven't been protested by the protesters here in Keene, you're just not a very good government bureaucrat, from what I can tell.
It's actually been a while since we've had one of those target the home things. But then again, it's been a while since we've had a really egregious violation of you know, one of the activists around here. So it's been done. This is sort of part of the history of some of the activism around here. And the idea is take it home to them. Don't let them get away from their responsibility for the actions that they've taken just because they go home for the night.
I guess what I'm sort of hearing here is that what people want is they want the full internet that they've gotten up to this point, the way they've gotten it. Like, it's really nice to be able to go to Melanie's blog, right? And to use Google. It's nice to be able to go anywhere.
But it wouldn't be nice
if... What some of these organizations would do is limit the places. You can believe that they would limit it. They would say, here's a package for reaching everybody's blog, plus everything else, and then here's a package for just getting Facebook and Google.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. And I'm sorry if I'm not being clear with my explanation. What we're talking about would be that you're... That would be a different level, what you're talking about, would be completely blocking off access
Wouldn't
to...
Wouldn't that be something that would be allowable under these new FCC rules to give
in
the...
In theory, yeah. In
there
theory
you go.
Then,
no, that's not
but
what
no
we're
one's
talking
offering,
about.
No one's offering that,
today,
at least not in the United
Ian,
States.
This is what these people are worried about. They're worried about the probable...
But
almost
it wasn't happening
certain,
before
well,
net neutrality.
There,
yes,
used,
it
yes,
is.
There was, because there used to be like the cell phone version of internet, which is why people were buying iPads and Androids specifically, because those came with the full internet, whereas your other lower-tier phones had the... cell phone version of internet, and it didn't cost as much.
One of the great things about the internet is sort of the leveling of the field when it comes to media. And this is what people love. Mm-hmm. They love the notion that Melanie can start tomorrow being the foremost voice on taxes and bookkeeping, the U.S. taxes and bookkeeping, right? Like, she could start a blog that grows to the point that, she's the one that delivers the very best news on this.
Yeah,
it's possible. It's the dream, and it rarely happens, but it can happen.
Yeah.
20 or 30 years ago, when you had newspapers and these other things,
there were gatekeepers in the way.
Yeah, what was she going to do? She was going to Xerox, some newspapers off, and
you'd have to get a syndication gig from King Features Syndicate.
But you still had to go through the man to do
it. That's right. The gatekeepers.
Frankfort, Kentucky, as reported by the Associated Press, a divided Kentucky appeals court panel ruled Friday that a Lexington business did not discriminate against an organization by refusing to print T-shirts for a gay rights festival.
Well, wait, how is that not discriminating?
That works. The cake thing, because the cake, in the view of the government, although if it's a wedding cake, I kind of disagree with this, although I'm not a big fan of, Southern racist gay-hating people, but in the opinion of the government, a cake does not make a statement. So you're selling a product that you sell already, and you're refusing to sell it to a specific demographic. With the shirts literally make a statement. So you're refusing to make a specific statement. They cannot force you to make a statement.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's you saying that without having read the opinion, right? That's like a pretty good prediction.
I don't know what the court said, but that's the law.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting prediction. But it's still discrimination.
It was a split decision Counselor Johnson.
Well, but the law is always opinion-backed by
God.
In the
appellate court, not at the supreme level.
The fees are terrible with Bitcoin. And I just sent some Dash here tonight from my Jax wallet to the Dash Core wallet on the studio computer, just as a test, and very fast in comparison to Bitcoin. The fee was like nothing in comparison to Bitcoin, and I was sending only about 9 cents worth of Dash, and the fee was a fraction of that.
Mm-hmm.
So like a thousandth of that. So the fees are really great, just like Bitcoin used to be. And it's faster as far as confirmations are concerned. In fact, there's even an instant send option with Dash.
And there's built-in mixing, so it has a privacy aspect. I wouldn't claim that any currency...
Now, that's an option, right? You have to opt into that with your transaction with Dash.
You do, but it's sort of built in, and it's much more likely that you're dealing with a lot more
churn. It's built
churn.
In as an option.
The government is not going to force the print shop to make a statement. Which is...
That would be forced speech in that case. Even though they'd be paid to do it, but yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's a great example. When it comes to the wedding cake, a cake maker makes wedding cakes. When it comes to the print shop, a print shop sells T-shirts, so the Gay Pride Festival could come in and order a bunch of blue T-shirts. There's nothing the print shop could do about that. They couldn't say, we're not going to sell you blue T-shirts because you're a Gay Pride Festival. They can, however, refuse to write, we're here and we're queer, right, on the front of it. That's what they can refuse to do.
And I would imagine a cake maker could refuse to draw a phallus on a cake if that's what was, being ordered.
Right.
As well.
So I would say that if you had to put two men or two women on the top of a cake, that you are in fact being forced to make a some kind of positive statement. Mm-hmm. Other words, but you know that I'm of the opinion that you should be able to do what you want in your business.
And I agree
that it is a terrible idea to buy a cake from somebody who doesn't want to make one for you. This is supposition. I don't know for certain. They found the print shop. Probably the one that had the little fish out front. And they said, we're going to make these people make our shirts. Make their shirts! Mm. Right? And that's how it goes with the wedding cakes and how it goes with this thing and that thing. And that's just, it's just sick. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have your festival. I'm not saying that you're bad for being gay. I'm saying the government's a weapon, and you're attempting to get other people to believe the way that you believe by using the weapon.
It's not okay, and it's going to turn against you at some point, even if you get your way. And in this case, they didn't. But even if you get your way and you force the poor print shop owner to make some undesirable shirt to him, eventually the tides are going to turn. And people are going to start forcing you to do things against your will at your business.
They did. Right? That's what happened to gays in the past, is that they couldn't have their bars and they couldn't do a variety of other things. How did it feel? Well, this is what it's like now. You know, when the pendulum swings, you should try to stop it in the middle. What is fair and what is right and what is just. And it is not fair, right, or just that you go make some Christian print something on a t-shirt they don't want to print. Now, I'm telling you from a show that gets all kinds of complaints from Christians that we don't treat them fairly. Okay? I'm simply believe
still?
Yeah, all the whenever I come out and say, you know, I don't believe that dumb book and I make some point, right? Then you're running the liberty movement because you're isolating blah blah blah. Abramson told the newspaper that he would not object to printing shirts for gays or lesbians as long as the message didn't promote homosexuality.
I see.
So he didn't. Look, if a gay or lesbian person comes in,
if a flaming gay guy comes in and says, "I want some happy smiley face shirts,"
right.
He would have printed them.
He would have printed them. Yeah. Or I like poodles.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, that's a marginally gay statement, but nonetheless, he would have printed those for him. But it's the fact that it's a statement about the gay pride festival. So there you go. I don't leave my faith at the door. When I walk into my business, Edmondson said, in my case, fortunately, the legal system worked. And, you know, I don't support his position. If I had a t-shirt shop,
I don't even support his position as a Christian. I think that there's plenty of Christians who are welcoming and accepting towards gay people.
And, sure.
You know, there are even Christian churches that allow gay people to be ministers.
Well, I mean, that depends largely on where you are. And
sure.
Because people conflate the issues, and there's two issues here. A, should you hate gay people? B, should the government force you to not hate gay people? There's plenty of things that you shouldn't do, that, like almost everything, that the government should not force you to do or not do. And people conflate that all the time, which I think is just called statism, but... Mm.
I was in a leadership, if you can call it a leadership, a service position for my... church, my Quaker meeting.
Okay. Aren't you still?
I am no longer the clerk of my meeting.
Okay.
But, you know, as the clerk, I run the meeting for business. You know, I get to decide who talks when, you know, that sort of thing. And I would have absolutely positively gone as a matter of fact, I refused, you know, I stood to say that we were not going to join Friends United meeting. That our meeting is not going to send support to Friends United.
What
meeting,
is that?
That as opposed to the Friends General Council. Okay, so Friends General Council supports gay marriage. Friends United meeting will not hire gays.
Oh my!
So
there's some Quakers out there that are anti-gay.
Look, Quakers don't believe everything I believe, Ian. Yeah.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast. Listen live and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.